Good morning, everybody. It is Tuesday, the 11th of May, and after a fabulous day yesterday, hitting a all-time high, all-time closing high, that is, ASX 200 up 92 points yesterday. A bit of irrational, rational exuberance is leaking out of the market today. We had the futures down 52 on the back of Wall Street, down 35. But the main issue, of course, was the NASDAQ down 2.55%, with Apple down 2.6%, Facebook down 4.1%. Google down 2.6%, Amazon 3.1%, Netflix 3.4%. It's all technology getting sold off in the US or in here as well. We've got APT down 3.8% today, and the IT sector is down 21% in Australia from the top now. So the pointy end of the market getting sold off. Otherwise, just a bit of profit taking from yesterday. Our market, as I speak, is down 62 points. Interest rates behaving themselves. They are still trickling lower as the budget comes up today. I don't think the budget is really going to move the needle too much. It is often overhyped. The media jumps all over it. It's at 7:30 tonight. Often a lot of fuss about nothing. Depends on whether there are individual stocks that get caught up in particular measures. But generally speaking, at this stage, after the RBA meeting last week, which included GDP upgrades and improvements to employment forecasts, the backdrop is really quite positive. The backdrop is something that the politicians will want to highlight as much as possible. It's a shame they haven't got an election this year. I'm sure they're thinking that, because there is an argument to say that the management of the pandemic has been excellent in Australia compared to the rest of the world, and we are reaping the benefits. There will be more spending than they expected in February, and thanks to the iron ore price, which was up an astonishing 8% overnight to $223 per ton. $229 per ton. The government has a bit more money than maybe they expected earlier this year. And with that in mind, you tend to find that a lot of the measures are not very draconian. They tend to be more generous, and you're unlikely to see individual stocks caught by any particular clampdowns on spending, which is usually what hurts them. So expecting a cozy sort of budget tonight. Now back to iron ore. Our stocks, BHP, Rio, if you look at the charts in the strategy piece today, you'll see they've been hitting record highs, and the resources sector flying along. Today they have failed to make any progress with the market down overall. But have a look at the charts. It is clear that we are in a bit of a resources boom at the moment. I have looked around for an excuse for the iron ore price to be flying along at the moment, and there are a combination of comments in news articles, but nothing that's too obvious. The demand seems to be Chinese-led. They take 70% of global seaborne iron ore. Idle comments about a global pandemic recovery creating demand, and a comment that the April imports to China fell from March, but that is not because of the lack of demand, it's because of tight supply after a cyclone in WA. And there are suggestions that maybe the Chinese are anticipating a tightening in the iron ore supply market and are stockpiling. Who knows? Either way, the iron ore price is extremely frothy at the moment. And that's before we look at the copper price. There are a couple of brokers with research out on copper this week, one from Macquarie, another from Bank of America, talking about the lack of scrap, falling inventories, demand set to soar thanks to electric vehicles. Electric vehicles use three times the amount of copper as a conventional vehicle. With Bank of America talking about the price going from $10,000 per ton to $13,000 per ton, then $20,000 per ton, Macquarie saying something similar. Bottom line message is that in a pandemic recovery, with the iron ore price flying, the copper price flying, with inflation returning, talk of a super cycle, incessant Chinese demand for Australian iron ore, let's keep holding those resources, shall we? Let's not get too clever and start selling them just yet. And I've put a table in the strategy piece today showing you the PEs and yields on the major resources stock. BHP on a PE of 12.5, Rio 8.1 times, Fortescue 6.4 times, yields of 8.8%, 12.4%, 19%, Mineral Resources PE of 8.4, we hold that, and a yield of 8%. And that is before you start upgrading the resources for spot prices as opposed to iron ore price or copper price assumptions that are in the broker's forecast. Bear in mind, these PEs are based on forecasts, and the forecasts use assumptions. And a lot of the broker assumptions about iron ore prices are still assuming for this year, next year, the year after, an iron ore price of somewhere under $100 per ton, when the current price is more than double that. And I keep hearing that, was it Morgan Stanley or Macquarie or someone else, saying a couple of months ago that if they used spot prices, and that's probably when spot prices were around $150 a ton, if they used spot prices in their forecasting, their BHP forecast would be, what was it, 125% higher. This is something that was happening in the resources boom in 2002 to 2008, that brokers started producing tables with forecasts based on their commodity price assumptions and then forecasts based on spot price assumptions. And the spot price numbers were obviously vastly higher. I'm sure some brokers will start to do that again. It'll be interesting to see what PE, BHP, Rio and Fortescue are on if you put spot prices into broker forecast assumptions. Anyway, let's just keep holding those resources. You'll see some charts in the newsletter, in the strategy piece today. Right, I've also got a comment about bet makers today. I was reading an article in the Australian front page of the business section of the Australian at the weekend about bet makers. I remember one of our, I wouldn't call them a competitor, one of the other newsletters published an extreme buy recommendation on BetMakers, BET is the code, the other day. And I just noticed that the, what I call the, well, I better not use the word I actually use, but the click tarts, let's call them that, the click tarts have started writing about bet. And if you don't know what that means, it means there are some news, are they news or are they just writing about anything that will get them clicks? Anyway, the click tarts have to write about stocks like Afterpay because so many people click on the word Afterpay. And the way they do it is they get young people who aren't necessarily trained to write or experience, some of them are students, I believe, will write a story the moment a news article or a news announcement comes out. So BHP has results. They are paid a few hundred dollars to write as quickly as possible about BHP results, and the SEO machine gets into operation. So the moment someone clicks BHP results, seconds after the announcement, one of these young writers has written an article already about the BHP results, and Google sends everybody straight there, and before you know where you are, the most clicked article becomes the most clicked article. So it's a race to write something as quickly as possible that has the right keywords in it. But by definition, the only detail that those articles will have in them is something that's in the public announcement anyway. It won't be necessarily opinionated or adding any value at all. But that's how the game's played in our field. We don't compete for clicks, but many of the people in our space do. News outlets, some of the less substantial newsletters, constantly competing for clicks. And I can tell you, people who are in that space cannot afford not to be putting out the right keywords, and BetMaker is clearly becoming one of the poster childs of a booming industry that cannot be ignored by the internet and articles and information's proliferating. We hold it, of course, in our Marcus Today growth portfolio. We're up 45% on it. It's a shame we didn't get onto it a bit earlier. But it's one of those stocks like Davnet or VoiceNet in the tech boom, or A2 Milk for a while, or WiseTech, or Afterpay in the last year. There's always a stock a year that you had to write about if you wanted clicks. And these stocks do generate a sort of, if everyone's talking about it, it must be a safe stock mindset. And everybody starts buying it and it becomes self-fulfilling. Anyway, BET is becoming one of those. But these stocks, it's not as if these stocks are hollow. They have good reason for that. And buy now, pay later is obviously a massive growth industry as it replaced credit cards. In the same way, BetMaker is white labeling systems for betting companies. Their clients include Bet365, Ladbrokes, Tabcorp, Ned's, Sportsbet, William Hill, PointsBet. This is a company that's making the picks and shovels for the mining boom, and they're making the software and providing the systems and information and innovation for a booming online betting industry. Now, in Australia, that industry exploded 2 or 3 years ago, but it's just beginning to explode in the US as the US allows individual states. There used to be an outright ban on online betting, but now they're allowing individual states to dictate their own fortunes. And 20 states have already bought into it, and the industry is booming in the US from a small start, and BetMaker are right in the middle of it. It's very hard to buy a stock on a PE of minus 225 going to 451, but it's similar to the buy now, pay later. There's a land grab going on, and the profits will come later, you assume. Anyway, have a look at Bet. I've provided links today to the weekend article in The Australian, Henry's podcast with the COO, which he did last week, Tom's recent buy, hold and sell, the BetMaker's website. It's a stock that probably, for people at the risky end of the market, should have on their radar. Right, from the interesting, unprofitable and exciting to the very profitable and dull, ANZ went ex-dividend yesterday. We have Westpac and NAB going ex-dividend on Thursday. I've put a seasonal chart of the bank sector in the strategy piece today. This is the time that the sector generally goes flat for a couple of months after the results. It runs up to the dividends and results and then goes flat. So we've had our run-up and the results have generally been good. The dividend's going ex now. This is a time you may say as a retiree income investor you wouldn't bother doing this, but I can tell you for a fact this is a time a lot of institutional investors and retail investors exit the banks after they go ex-dividend and either buy the CBA, which has got dividends and results coming up in August, usually runs up to results, or exits the banks and assumes that the sector is going to peak for a while, it seasonally does, and go and play in something more exciting. Anyway, the bank switch is probably on. If you were a full-service broker's client, you would probably be getting the phone call saying we should be selling NAB or ANZ or Westpac after they go ex-dividend, of course, and buying the CBA or buying something else. It's money for old rope getting commission for switching around in the banks. Right, other things I've done, written about today, CXL or Calix did a deal today. Henry did a podcast with the CEO in February. I've provided a link to that. Share price has been going up from 90 cents when Henry did his podcast to 267 at the moment. Not recommending it. It's highly illiquid. I don't think we could buy it. Henry's got it in his small cap portfolio, but I put the top 20 up. There are quite a few small cap fund managers have been buying recently. And today they do a deal with PLS Pilbara. Might be worth having a look. Right, and finally, I provided the holdings, the top 20 holdings of all the Wilson listed investment companies, because someone was asking. It's all in their March reports. The main message is if you find a fund manager you want to follow, go to their website, sign on for their regular emails or their regular videos and their fund reports. You can pretty much follow what most fund managers are doing. And from that, a lot of small company ideas can appear. Because if someone like Wilson Asset Management, who are making millions of dollars, running billions of dollars, whereas you might go off and do your own research, they can afford to pay analysts hundreds of thousands of dollars to go and look at companies. So when Wilson Asset Management turn up with a holding in Chalice or Dusk or Estia Health and other stocks you've never heard of, you can pretty much assume that someone professional, trained, has spent many more hours than you have or could analysing the company, meeting the company, assessing the company, and then deciding to buy the company. So this sort of information is worth having a look at if you are bereft of small company ideas, which of course you aren't because you're reading Henry's take every day. Right, that's about that. As I say, Henry is here today. We have to take him out for dinner tonight. We will keep that a very sober affair, as you can imagine. Good to have him down. We'll try and do some podcasts whilst he's here between the two of us. As I leave you, Dow Jones down 150 points. Futures down 150 points and falling quite rapidly, it's got to be said. Not the best look. Our market, whilst I've been talking to you, has gone from down 59 to down 89. Everything's falling in a hole. Afterpay down 5.5% now. Zero and REA down over 3%. All the banks, BHP and Rio, all down as well. Fortescue down 3.4%. It's not a good look, it has to be said. You try and have a fabulous day, and I will speak to you tomorrow.